All right, are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. I have a long way to go, and I'm going to do it in a short time. What I want to talk to you about tonight is why do things like Granbury, Oklahoma, Boston, some of the tragedies that we've seen lately, why do things like that happen? We can look at Oklahoma City and in that area. We know that there were innocent lives, children, mothers, dads lost and all that. Why did things like that happen? Now, the tendency is, most of us as human beings, the tendency is that we want to find something that someone did wrong in order to cause that to happen. Some people may say, well, why did God allow that to happen? How come God didn't stop that? Why didn't God intervene in the bomber? Or why didn't he intervene with the tornado? Or why did God allow that to happen? And what I want to share with you tonight is really important, because I think the perspective that we have on this is kind of slanted, it's kind of tilted, it's kind of off. First of all, let me say this, that hurricanes and tornadoes are not an act of God. Volcanoes and earthquakes are not an act of God. The Bible tells us that we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. There's none of us that can come before God in our own righteousness and command or demand that God do anything for us. Everything that we receive from God, everything that goes on in our life is by his grace and his mercy. Now, in the book of Romans, you've probably heard this verse quoted, but I want to use it in this context. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, Adam did a disservice to humanity when he fell. When Adam fell, he imparted to every one of us a fallen nature. You don't have to teach a child to say, mine. You don't have to teach a child to say, no. It's a thing that comes naturally. In fact, you have to discipline and train them and teach them not to be selfish and not to be rebellious. And all those things are a part of the fallen nature. There's none of us in this room tonight that can say, God, we have a right. Because really, if you come down to it, we have no right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I get an amen on that? How many in this room would acknowledge tonight that even the best among us has no ability to stand before God in our own righteousness? None of us can do that. Now, what we tend to do and what the world wants to do is it wants to find a flaw in someone so that they can say, well, I may be bad, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But here's the issue. All have sinned and have come up short. None of us has the ability to command God on our behalf. None of us comes before God as an equal, except none of us comes before God and can ask except by the grace of God. And that brings me to the next verse. Romans 6:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, and the wages or the payoff of that sin is, how many of you know what it is? Say it out loud. The wages of sin is death. So if we can get this is really important. Every human being on planet Earth deserves death. Amen? But, everybody say but? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we have two different destinies. And the issue is that we're living on a planet that is controlled by a demonic evil force. Right now, Satan is alive. He is going about like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. Come on. And somebody would say, well, if God is so powerful, why doesn't he stop the devil from doing the things that he's doing? Well, it has to do with who still has title deed to what takes place on planet Earth. When Adam fell, he gave Satan the ability to be the ruler of this world. And the only way that's going to change is when the believer, through the power of God, begins to take back this world and demand what the enemy has stolen be returned. And the Bible says in the Old Covenant that a thief, when he's discovered, has to restore as much as seven times what he took before. Now, look with me in Luke 13. This is where I want to go. I want you to see that. Just a little background before we get in. Luke chapter 13. These verses have troubled me for a long time until I believe God has given me some revelation on it. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. When you got it, say, I got it. Now, there were some present at that time. Jesus had been teaching. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, let me explain. The Galileans were kind of a rowdy group, and they were always trying to stir up rebellion against the Roman government. They didn't like them. Every chance they got, they would raid the storehouses and that kind of thing. So what had happened is they had come to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feasts. And at that feast, they were offering sacrifices, and the rulers found out that they were there, and so they slaughtered them and mixed the blood, their own blood, with the sacrifices that they were offering to the Lord. And that's what they were referring to. How Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices their own blood. And Jesus said in verse 2, now this is a really unusual response. They told him about this tragedy. And what the mindset of most of us is when someone suffers something like that, well, they must have been really bad people. They must have done something really bad. But Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? Yeah, the tendency would be for us to say, yeah, bad things happen to bad people. But what Jesus is saying is, no, I tell you, verse 3, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now here's what we got. We got a world that's under the power of darkness. We have people who choose not to repent. And what happens when people choose not to repent is that it opens them up for destruction. But let me tell you, you don't have to turn your back on God. I'm going to read you a verse in just a moment in the book of John chapter 3. You don't have to turn away. You don't have to say no to God. The very fact that you have not said yes to God is no. You hear what I'm saying? Well, I'm a good person. I don't beat my wife. I pay my taxes. I'm pretty good to my kids. I work hard. God should cut me some slack. Let me tell you something. I don't care how good you are, how nice you are, how well-liked you are. You may be a good old boy, but that's not enough to protect you from the ravages of Satan in our lives. The Bible says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And may I say, he's been doing a pretty good job of it lately. Wouldn't you agree? Now, in verse 4, he goes on to say, he's talking about a different situation. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? So there was this tower that fell. It killed 18 people. And what some people would want to say is those 18 people must have been really evil or bad or cruel or something. But Jesus said, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? You know what the answer is? No, they weren't. They weren't. Hallelujah. What I got to share with you is really important. Our mindset has to be that all this world, every human being on planet Earth is in need of a Savior. You can dress it up, you can pretty it up, you can clean it up, you can curl your hair, you can do all that stuff, but you still need Jesus. And apart from Jesus, the same fate that those Galileans, the same fate that they suffered, that same fate is really, by rights, already ours. Think about this. If you have sinned, and if the wages of that sin is death, and if the destruction that the enemy wants to bring, that the world wants to bring upon you, is already yours, we can't come before God and demand that God keep us and protect us. How many of you know what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not, did you get that? But have everlasting life. Now let me explain something. Everlasting life doesn't start when you die. Everlasting life starts when you say yes to the Lord. You're not going to get everlasting life when you die. Through Jesus, you already have everlasting life. Come on now. When you were born again, you became an eternal being. You became a part of God's family. You're not going to get eternal life. You already got it. Are you with me so far? Now, what does verse 17 say? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Verse 17, what does it say? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Does anybody have verse 18 there? Anybody have verse 18, John 3:18? Would you say that again? Real out.
Those who believe in him won't be condemned, but those who do believe and don't believe are already condemned.
Because they have not believed. That's it. So here's the deal. We in this world today, now this is really important. I don't want to blow anybody's mind or make you think really that I'm trying to put anybody down. But really, every human being on your birthday, the day you were born, stands condemned before God because you were born into a fallen race. Every human being born on planet Earth is already condemned. But God in his mercy has offered to those that are condemned a way to be free from condemnation and brought into a place of salvation. When we look around today and we see little babies and we see mothers and we see elderly and we see those people and we see all that, we have to understand that it's not because they're a bigger sinner than somebody else. It's because they were born into a race that has already been judged. How many of you understand that if you have not received Christ in your life, when you die, you will be separated eternally from God? Are you with me? When we look at tragedy, we have to look at it through the eyes of the scripture. When Jesus was walking with his disciples in the book of John, it says that there was a blind man that had been blind from his mother's womb. And the disciples went to Jesus and they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. But he was born blind for the glory of God, that the works of God might be manifest in him. Here's what I want to get across today. Condemnation is not the will of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3:17. God wants to take us from already standing before God guilty and judged and transform us into that which is acceptable and free from judgment and free from condemnation. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Am I blowing your mind right here? When we look at our world today and the evil that's going on in our world, we see child molesters and we see all of the things that take place and the murderers and this woman that stabbed her boyfriend 17 times, I think, shot him and all that stuff. I mean, look, we live in a sinful world, don't we? But folks, just because we have never stabbed somebody 17 times and shot him in the head does not mean that we're okay with God. We don't come to God and say, well, God, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I didn't do this. See, what God wants, what God desires, is that you be brought out of judgment and be brought into acceptance. It's the only way this works. That's why Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 3, before he talked about for God so loved the world, Nicodemus came to him and he said, you must be born again. You can't even see the kingdom of heaven until you're born again. You can't understand what I'm about to tell you. The wind blows where it wills. No man. And this guy's, how can a man be enter into his mother's womb and be born again? And he said, you know what he said? He said, you can't get this until you are born again. You know what I'm telling you tonight? You can't figure this out. You have to receive it by faith. You have to accept it by faith. When Jesus was talking about the Galileans, what he was saying is that all of humanity is already under condemnation. But Jesus came to make a way so that we're no longer under judgment. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said in the book of Malachi. He said this. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. Now I know this is not jumping up and down, but this is good stuff. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. The Lord speaking, so I will come and put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against the sorcerers, the adulterers, the perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress widows and the fatherless and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Almighty God. And then the very next verse says, I'm the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. I'm the Lord, I do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. King James says consumed. Here's what we got to understand. We all already deserved death and judgment. But God in his mercy, can you imagine if the first time you made a wrong decision, you told a lie, you stole a pencil, you stole some candy, you did something wrong. Can you imagine if the first time you did that, God said, that's it. The axe fell, lightning hit you. How many know there'd be a whole lot less people doing that? What'd they do? He took a pencil. He's just ashes there on the floor. But here's what happens. God in his mercy. Do you know the verse that says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? Instead of doing something and thinking, I got away with that. Come on. What we need to recognize is that it's the mercy of God that judgment didn't fall immediately when we committed that act of sin. Come on now. How many of you really tonight, has God intervened in your life in an automobile when you should have been killed? How many of you been in the wrong? You boys, I'm going to tell your mama. I mean, if you just stop and think about it, when I was in my 20s, I was working as an electrician. I was in an attic, and I was laying across. It was hot in the summertime. I was laying across one of those air conditioning ducts. It was wrapped in foil, and as I was laying across it, the drill that I was using shorted out. And you know what? I should have died in that attic that day. I should have, because it was right across here. But I want to tell you something. God in his mercy protected me. Come on now. It's not because we've done anything good. It's because of his mercy, his unmerited favor, that we are freed from the judgment and condemnation that we deserve. Is anybody here? If you think back over your life, you're going to realize that God has been there from the beginning. Now, I cannot explain to you why little children, third grade, fourth grade in Oklahoma City, died and others did not, but I can tell you this. We live in a sinful world. God did not send that tornado to punish them. That's not an act of God. We cannot blame God for that. No matter what your insurance policy says, it's not an act of God. Insurance companies just do that so they can get out of it, I think. But so they don't cover other acts of God, you know. But I will say that every one of us, at any moment, judgment is already deserved, except we've received Jesus. Humanity already deserves to die, except if we receive Jesus. The wages of sin is death, and not just when you get old. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Could I get an amen from anybody here tonight? Why do bad things happen? Because we are a fallen race of people. Why do bad things happen? Because the devil still rules in many areas on this planet. But here's the thing. We as God's people can begin to change the environment, at least for our families, for our community. We can begin to change the environment. We can begin to change the atmosphere. Come on, how many of you remember when the disciples were in the boat and there was a great storm that came? You remember that?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep. But they woke him up and they said, Lord, don't you care? We're going to drown. We're going to perish. You know what Jesus did? He got up and he rebuked the storm and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. I want to tell you something about being in the boat with Jesus. Peace. Even in the midst of the storm, peace. How many times has God come through when we didn't really deserve it? How many times have we said, God, if you'll just fix this, I'll never do that again? How many times have we pled with God, God, if you'll do this, I'll serve you, I'll do anything you want me to do. Most of us, when we got born again, said, God, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do, I'll say what you want me to say, I'll be what you want me to be. And somehow, over the years, we've kind of forgotten that we made commitments to God, and we just kind of take all the benefits of salvation without remembering, wait a minute, had it not been for Jesus, I would have already been dead and in a hot, burning hell. Now, I don't usually preach this way, but I want to tell you something. This is not the time to mess around. I've told you a few weeks ago, the intensity and the frequency is going to increase. This world is on a one-way track to the coming of Jesus. And the devil is going to do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy until Jesus completely intervenes and throws him into the pit. And I'm looking forward to being there that day. But here's the deal. We can live right now. We can live under the mercy of God. We can live under the mercy of God. You know what the Bible says? It says that he holds us in his hand, and no man is able to pluck us out of the hand of God. Come on now. You know what Jesus said? He said, you'll tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. We got to get a hold of some of this. In the book of Isaiah, even under the old covenant, it said, when you walk through the fire, it'll not burn you. When you pass through the flood, it'll not overwhelm you. The Bible says that every tongue that rises against us in judgment will be condemned. God is up to something. He wants to showcase his mercy on our lives. He wants the world to see what it's like to live under the umbrella of God's mercy that keeps the sin and the destruction away from us. Now, does that mean we never have any problems? No, but it means that in every problem, God's mercy is more than enough. My grace is sufficient. Come on. We got to get a hold of this, that our God is good. Oh, God, why did you let that happen? Wait a minute. If we go back and we realize what we really deserved, you know, we had a beautiful day today. What we really deserved was not what we got. Every day that we get up in the morning and live and walk and move, every day that we go through this life, it's by the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. Is anybody in here? You know, the Bible says that our God is faithful, that his mercy is new every morning. Folks, if you catch this, you don't take God for granted. You don't allow yourself to say, God, I'll see you next week. Because every moment, I'm telling you, driving around here on these freeways, people are idiots. Have you noticed? South Cooper, my goodness, you got to pray in the Holy Spirit just to drive on South Cooper. And you know what? Debbie Lane's just about the same way anymore. You try to pull out from one of these stores and people speed up. Boom! I tried to change lanes down here, and the guy beside me actually saw my blinker on and sped up so I couldn't get over. Hi. You'd have been proud. God bless you. The conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws us to God is not designed to separate us from the love of God. It's designed to draw us into his love. Now, when we go around with rose-colored glasses and think that just because I'm a good person, nothing bad's ever going to happen to me, we are believing a lie. The devil has sold us a bill of goods. I'm not a murderer. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I don't sleep around, and so therefore I'm okay. But I want to tell you, it's not okay. Every one of us deserves death. Every one of us needs Jesus. And everyone who receives the Lord has passed from death to life. Anybody in this room tonight? You see, in the book of Hebrews, it says that God has delivered, Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. All of us are going to die one day. But you know, the good thing about it is if Jesus is big on the inside of you, when you die, you know where you're going. You're not going to hell. You're not going into a soul sleep or something else. You're going into the presence of God. Amen. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, in a split second, you will leave planet Earth, you'll breathe your last breath, your brain waves will stop, but in that moment, you will be standing before a mighty God, welcomed into his loving mercy. And the Bible says that his mercy endures forever. The Bible teaches that God created heaven so that he could lavish his grace upon us throughout all eternity. Why would anybody shake their fist at God and say, God, why did you let that happen? When God is doing everything he can to bring us into eternal mercy and grace. Well, God, I prayed for a parking space and I had to walk 2 blocks. Why'd you let that happen? Come on, give me a break. What you deserved was to die. What you got was life. How many of you can walk 2 blocks? Whatever. God, those people were mean to me. My waitress didn't bring my food on time. Why'd you let that happen? Well, you know, really, come on, in the whole economy of this thing, what we go through on this life, what Jesus suffered for us to give us eternal life, blows my mind. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine a creator that would be willing to die for a rebellious and sinful creation. Unless you understand John 3:16. I don't know if your parents have ever had that happen. Have you ever had a kid that just didn't quite get it? Don't answer that question. I never did. I never did. My kids were perfect. But you know, you don't love your kids because they're perfect. You love them because you love them. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And he didn't raise the bar very high for us. He didn't say that we would follow Jesus without ever sinning again. You know what he said? That whoever believes in him. You know what he did? He put it all on himself. This covenant is not based upon our performance anymore. The grace of God is not dependent upon us being good people. Now, I encourage you to be good, but I also know that most of the time when we're not good, the devil comes with condemnation, and I want to tell you something. You are God's creation. You can repent. The devil cannot. Therefore, he wants to keep you from repentance. Jesus said, if you do not repent, the same thing that happened to those Galileans, the same thing that happened when the tower fell on those other guys, that's what's going to happen to you. But the good news is, if you do repent, you come under the umbrella of God's mercy. And there's nothing the devil can do to take you out of God's hand. Nothing he can do to stop God's mercy on your life. Come on, it's like living your life with God's presence right there with you. Everyone who comes against you, God stands between. Everything that the enemy has designed to destroy you, God turns that and makes good come out of it. Romans 8, God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. See, the scripture is very clear that God's mercy is undeserved, but it is also freely given. I don't know how God does that. What about those people that haven't received Jesus yet? How come God hadn't just struck them down? If I were God, I would. Well, you know, Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. It's just amazing. It's just amazing that God loves us enough to be long-suffering with us. Think about this, and I've had people ask, why did God show mercy to that person that had gone to such a depth? And you know what? I believe in my life, and I believe in many lives, that God allows us to experience what it's like to live without his presence so that we choose never to live without his presence again. I don't understand how God can be long-suffering enough to allow us to go through that so that we return to him forever. But he is. He is. He loves his people. He loves you. His mercy endures forever. Think about that. That's not just till the day you die, Miss Emma. The moment you leave planet Earth, the moment your spirit leaves this planet, you step over into everlasting mercy. He's going to lavish his mercy on us. You know why? Because we don't deserve to be there. That's why in heaven they sing the song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's the reason they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He's redeemed us to God by his own blood." That's the reason the whole focus of the gospel is not how we can do something or how we can be better. The focus of the gospel is the fact that we were condemned, judged, and sentenced to death, and Jesus took our place on the cross and gave us his new life so that we could live with him forever. 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 Why does God allow things to happen like that in the world? Folks, God didn't have anything to do with that. It's the result of a fallen world. And yet God is offering to us a doorway out. Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb applied to our life, is the doorway into his mercy that endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning, that it endures forever, that it has brought us away from the powers of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Father, I pray that none of us in this room would ever take for granted your love and your mercy. God, if in any area we have held you at an arm's length or pushed you away or said, blamed you for something that happened in our life, Father, tonight we repent of that. Thank you that you've given us the ability to repent. And we declare tonight that our God is good. Yes. Lord, you haven't dealt with us the way we deserved. You've dealt with us through loving kindness and mercy. And God, help us tonight not to look at other people who've gone through trouble and point a finger and be judgmental and say they deserve what they got. No, Lord, really in truth, we all deserve that. It's only by your grace. It's only by your mercy. Thank you for lavishing upon us. Thank you for your grace. I ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you take a moment and tell somebody around you, God has been good to me? Would you tell somebody around you, God has been good to me? He's been good to me. He has been good to me. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. He has been good to me. So next time you see somebody that doesn't look like they're walking in the grace of God, you know, I'm constantly amazed. And you know, we have certain kind of mindsets. People have their hair fixed a different way, or maybe they're dressed different, or maybe they got markings on their body, or piercings, or whatever the latest fad is. And we look at them and say, man, how could God love them? But you know what? I want to tell you something. God loves all of us. And Jesus didn't die for the good people. He died for the sinner. And every one of us qualifies. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Anybody here tonight? So I want to encourage you the rest of this week when you go out of here, when you see somebody who looks like they need some mercy, give it to them. Give it to them. You have plenty to give away. You have much to give away. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand together. We're going to pray with each other. Wednesday night is when we get a chance to pray. Ladies, find another lady. Guys, would you find a man? And let's pray for one another. And.